Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 100 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gil-Tack. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. We're going to talk about the election, what it means for all of us at the CCFR. We're going to have a bit of a CCFR update. We're going to bring on Wilson to help us with that. And she'll have some stories from the road and then some statistics on the booklet project that we did, which was really massive. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the intro, and then we'll finish that up with Wilson. I also have an updated legal schedule for the CCFR et al.'s court case, and so you'll get updated on that. And then I want to talk about our booklet project a little bit, just kind of a post-mortem of it, and just kind of answer some questions and stuff that people have had, and just kind of analyze what we did during the election. It was pretty interesting. But before that, let's thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. So thank you to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. You can check out all their great gear at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And also, I'd like to thank our friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. We truly appreciate their support. You can check out all of their great work at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. It hurts a little bit to talk, as you guys may know. I've got my last radiation treatment tomorrow, so I made it all the way through. I'm not going to give you an update on my condition right now, but what I will do is I'm going to tell all that stuff to you at the end, so that you don't have to sit through it now if you're not interested. So after I talk to Wilson, I'll say last couple of things I want to say to everybody, and then I'll say, okay, you can stop watching now, or just keep watching if you want to hear kind of what's going on with my condition. So you don't have to sit through it now, is what I'm saying. All right, here we go. So meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Justin Trudeau got in with a minority government again, pretty much where he was when he started, minus $610 million, and a whole bunch of just horrible campaigning, divisive, just sickening, lying, sickening campaigning. But nonetheless, here we are, wasted everybody's time and everybody's money to be exactly the same place as we were to begin with. Now, what does that mean for us? It means nothing. It means that the CCFR is going to continue to do the same thing that we've done all the time, which is just to fight this unfriendly government, try to hold on to our property and somehow maybe just get the respect that we deserve, which is just leave us alone. gun owners are great people overall, and we don't deserve to be treated the way that we're treated or to be used as political pawns. And the CCFR will continue to do whatever it takes, whatever is in our realm of control, whatever we can possibly do to fight these people. We've been under a liberal minority and a liberal majority government since the CCFR started. So we're used to our organization being focused in the way that it is right now. So we're just going to keep doing that and upping the ante on these people every opportunity that we get. So, all right, I'm going to give you the legal schedule at the end because we're talking about stuff that the CCFR does. So the CCFR update and sort of by the numbers and all that stuff from the booklet project we'll do with Wilson. But I just want to mention a couple of things about the project itself. So this project came up as an idea, a few months ago. But in Canada, the election period, nobody knows when it's coming, and it's very short, right? It's just over a month. And it's not like the United States where these people are campaigning for a year, right? So there's really no time. When the election's called, it's like, you drop your entire life and you do whatever you can as fast as you possibly can to have an effect, and then it's over. So I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever, but that's the system that we have. So as you guys know, we spent over $150,000 on television commercials, radio commercials, social media advertising, and then we spent, I don't know, all the bills aren't in yet, but we spent a sizable amount of money and a lot of effort doing this booklet project. The booklet project, I think, was extremely effective. How effective and what we affected, we'll never know because nobody could ever tell you. It would just be ridiculous to even speculate. But We printed 260,000 of these booklets, 100% accurate, 100% referenced booklet. It looked great. You guys have seen it, I'm sure. And we were able to distribute somewhere around between 240,000 and 220,000, somewhere in there out of the 260 that were printed. That's our guess right now based on gun stores that say they're all gone. Can you guys send more? And the stuff that we sent out. So if you're going to print 260,000 booklets like that, some of them are going to end up in recycling just because the election period is so short, right? You just can't get them. You can't actually create all the content, which is a tremendous amount of work to do it properly that people would actually read it, and all the references, get a print ready PDF, print a quarter million of these things, over a quarter million of them, get them where they needed to be, and then distribute them in, you know, whatever, 40 days, right? It's next to impossible, but we did it. So that's the reason. So there's the reason why I'm saying this is that's the reason we didn't have one in French and have a strategy for Quebec. We just couldn't, because we had never done anything like this. Nobody had ever done anything like this before, right? So we learned a lot. That's if I would tell you one thing that came out of this, you know, forget about influencing the election or whatever. If one thing came out of it, we know exactly how to do it now. And I think we did it. You know, I'm not going to pat myself on the back because I only created the material and the plan. Wilson actually went and made it happen. And that was the hard part, right? I was, you know, doing my, you know, treatment and staying home trying to do my thing while she was doing all the work. So she really knocked it out of the park, and we know exactly how to do it next time. My goal, and I don't like setting really lofty goals that you can't attain, but I would like to think we could do 1 million next time. And I think I could. I was feeling really like the first 2.5 weeks that I was in treatment were terrible because this thing in my neck was strangling me, right? And caused me nausea and pain. I was in the hospital for a couple of days, if you guys remember that. And I think I could do even a better job. I mean, the booklet is beautiful. It's as close to perfect as you get. But I think the next time I would even be able to add another full sheet of paper, which would add, because I think there was six full spreads and then the cover and the back in that. So full spreads means two pages opened up, right? If I add another sheet of paper in there, I think I get another three based on the way it works because it's folded, right? But anyway, nonetheless, no, two full spreads. So I think I could do even better. And now that I've gone through it and I have a lot of the verbiage for the previous liberal failings already that I don't have to rewrite, because writing that content is actually very technical work because it has to be written kind of pre-collegiate language, and just so everybody can really understand, it has to be very plain and very clear, and then of course fully referenced, and then a website has to go along with it to make sure that there isn't a single thing in there that's not true. And there wasn't a single lie or piece of hyperbole in that whole thing, which is funny because all the liberals got, they all melted down and was running around. It's like it's a pack of lies. Like there wasn't a single lie in there. It's the people claiming that they're lying, that someone else is lying. They're the actual liars, right? It's a sad point in Canadian history right now where this is how people win elections. They just lie. They just lie like they talk. They just lie as they breathe. And somehow that's okay. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But the next time, I think we can do 1 million. I think we could do it. I don't want to set the bar too high, but I think it's possible. And we know exactly how to do it now. And we know what it costs. And we know how long it takes. And we know what needs to be done to get these booklets where they need to be. We know how to marshal the crews to distribute them. We know all that stuff now. So if we didn't influence the election, which I would never say that we did because it's a pretty bold claim, but if we didn't, we came pretty close to doing it. And if we did, boy, are we going to have an effect next time. So anyway, I think it was a really great project. I'm really proud of it. And next time we'll have a full strategy for Quebec as well. We'll have a translated version, a French version, specific for Quebec with some Quebec issues. And oh yeah, we're going to do it even better next time. So I know that there was some writings. There was the other thing I wanted to cover. I know that there were some writings where people are like, it's, you know, up in Edmonton, it's a really close race over here. Where are all these? We just couldn't get everywhere. We just couldn't do it. The people that worked on this project, you know how many people worked on it? Two. Okay. Me and Wilson. And then Adam and Steve helped out where they could, but a lot of it, almost all of it fell on us. Right. And that's two people, man, that did that. And then everyone else that came together to help us get that information out there, all the gun stores and all the people that showed up, all the people that went to the gun stores, got the, got the booklets and then distributed them on their own. Unbelievable. We all really came together to make that happen. And for us to not be sitting here with 100,000 of them to go to the recycling bin, that's the real achievement. So anyway, I'm hoping that we will have it in every, have these things in residing in every riding in the country next time. We'll see. But anyway, I just want to let you know, we learned a lot. We know how to do this. Next time we're going to do at least three times bigger, 300% increase. So just so you know, so guys in Quebec that were disappointed we didn't have one, this is the best we could do in a 50-day election cycle. It's, you know, I'm not going to get bitter at people complaining about what we did, but it's like, until you know the details of what was required, what we had to do to make that happen, you won't understand why we weren't everywhere. So, anyway, okay. Next thing I want to talk about is, the legal update. So we have a legal schedule for our court case. Let me, I got that here for you. You can just check it out. I'm not going to go through all the dates or whatever. Hang on. How about that? There we go. But if you go to firearmrights.ca, you can find it. It's a court update schedule set. You know, that's the web address there. But just go to firearmrights.ca and you'll find it. It's the latest web story. And this is we had a case management conference. This is the schedule. So if you look right to the end, this is when we're going to court to be determined, somewhere in late summer or fall 2022. So it's a little ways off. It's definitely past the amnesty. I'm sure the Liberals will do something about that. They're not going to start going door to door, kicking doors in. That would be the worst thing they could possibly do. That's not going to get them anywhere. So I don't believe that that's going to be a problem. But if you want to check out that schedule, that's where that's where and when that's happening. And just a last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to keep this, I mentioned probably I was going to keep this part short because I think my talk with Wilson was 25 minutes and then I got another 10 minutes at the end. But basically, don't forget why we're doing the court case. We're doing it to win something, which would be great. There's no guarantee, you know, that we're going to win anything because for a lot of different reasons, right? And we're fighting a very unfriendly government. They're not bringing any evidence. They're just sitting there saying it's all super secret, top classified information that we use to formulate why we banned a bunch of guns, you know, for really, really no reason, right? When there's other guns out there. But it's a very difficult thing. If we win something, we want to either win one of the points that we're after, like overturning the OIC. If we can beat legislation, right? They can legislate that over, but we're also hoping to get favorable language in a ruling, which will help us to fight new laws as unconstitutional. Should we get a favorable ruling on other things? Maybe they might not be tangible as far as saving your guns this time around, but at least we would have something there to use to fight the next battle. I mean, this is all we can do. In our system, we don't have a Second Amendment, right? In our system, this is what we got to do. So we got to fight these small incremental battles, just like the anti-gun people have fought small incremental battles, but they have had their increments over the whole time, other than, you know, Bill C-42 and Bill C-19, the Ending the Long Gun Registry Act. So those are the only incremental steps in our direction that happened. Other than that, it's been incremental one way. It wasn't everything got banned one day. So that's how it works in our system. And that's why we're continuing to fight that lawsuit. And so if you're supporting us for that, thank you very much. And we're going to continue to fight it. All right. So as I mentioned, this part's going to be short. So I'm going to wrap it up right now. Let's bring on Wilson. All right. On Skype, we've got Wilson. Wilson.
Rod Giltaka. Happy 100, first of all.
Yeah, we're keeping it 100. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? That's what they say, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We keep it 100%. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So it's been a whirlwind couple of weeks for you for sure. We got a bit to talk about. We'll get the list here. I know that you did a little bit of work analyzing what we did at the CCFR with this truth tour, and you got tour by the numbers.
I do, actually. I was, you know, everybody's asking me how far I went and how many pamphlets went out and how many times our TV commercial showed on TV. So I did up a little tour by the numbers, which I will probably post on social media too. But we'll run through it real quick together. I drove 3,716 kilometers. I walked 148,532 steps, which equals out to 118.8 kilometers that I walked. We had 260,000 pamphlets printed and about 230,000 distributed, which equates to 17,000 pounds of paper or 520 boxes of pamphlets. We had just over 24,000 visits to liberalref.ca. We had two print shops working overtime getting these printed within 5 days. We had hundreds of volunteers. I couldn't count them all. We visited 24 ridings. We had 226 TV commercials on major networks, totaling over 14.2 million impressions. We had 285 talk radio commercials, 740,226 impressions on digital advertising that was embedded in other mainstream stories, for a total of $152,000 invested just in that TV, radio, digital advertising campaign. So that's kind of what I put together. Now, of course, there's other numbers that'll come out as we go along. I'd like the analytics on gundebate.ca because we also had the billboards. But yeah, I think almost 150,000 steps. That's me personally. And that doesn't account for all the steps taken by the hundreds of people who joined me along the way. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was a huge project. By the way, in case people hear a little bit of an echo, we had a little technical problem. So we're running the cell phone and the actual broadcast software at the same time. So just tolerate it this time around, guys. But something that we didn't have, that I didn't have on our list to talk about, but we have to touch on it. You mentioned all of those stats. And man, did our activities drive the liberals crazy or what? Did it drive them insane?
It literally drove them insane because every single liberal candidate had these, you know, boogeyman tweets and posts about the evil gun lobby. And it was absolutely nuts. And it's funny because I'm still sitting here with some of these pamphlets. I'll send you a couple so you've got them for historical reasons. But it's funny, this wasn't even about guns. This election should never have been about guns. I'm not entirely sure what the election was about. But it should be about the issues that matter to Canadians. And that's kind of what we focused on. And watching the Liberals have a complete meltdown on social media saying, you know, the gun lobby's, you know, running around talking about giving assault weapons to children in the streets. Like, you would not believe the hyperbolic, desperate lying and baloney that came out of these people. It was just nuts.
No, it was total lunacy. And I didn't do it this time because I'm not through with my treatment yet. But the next podcast I've collected all of the Bill Blair videos where he's like, and he's waving our booklet and he's like, this, you know, full of lies. And I mean, like, there's not a single lie in there, not a single lie. Like, Bill Blair is probably one of the worst people I've ever actually physically sat in front of. One of the worst human beings I've ever met. You know, just he waving my thing that I wrote and referenced 100%. And it's a book of lies and propaganda from the gun lobby and talking about the gun lobby. Like, we're some like terrible people that want to arm children. And it's amazing. It's a very interesting time where Canadians, there are Canadians out there that buy this stuff, that believe it, you know, no matter how ridiculous and insane the lies and the hyperbole is. They actually believe it. It's a scary time. But yeah, I have to be impressed by how badly these people melted down. Like, they lost their minds and made idiots of themselves. And I'm happy. I'm happy about that. It's getting me through treatment, I think.
Well, and it was weird because, you know, I would travel around and go to these locations, whether it was the first leg of the tour where I was sort of doing a lot of drop points just to drop off bundles of these pamphlets so that volunteers could come and get them. Or whether it was actual, you know, mailbox stuffing activities, you know, I'd get together with the crew I was with and say, okay, guys, stack in behind me, let's do a video. And it's like these happy, smiling families, and they're like, the evil lies of the gun lobby. Like, just, like, I don't know. It's like we're not on the same planet. These people are literally insane. And that was an especially satisfying part of it, is not, you know, over and above getting out to see everybody and doing my part, it was watching them have a complete unhinged meltdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really act crazy. And again, it works on some people. It really does. It did work on some people, but yeah, I think more and more, and you know, it's another thing, and I know I'm hijacking your part here, but we actually haven't talked about all this stuff, right? Because yeah. I've been busy. But I think that they thought that all that stuff, all that craziness was going to work better than it actually did. And I know on Twitter, there's a specific guy, he's just a total idiot. He's a lawyer, and I can't believe how childlike this guy is, like a 2-year-old, right, on Twitter. And he has more followers than I do. And he's, you know, I think that in his own mind gives him legitimacy or something. But he's like, you guys failed. And it's funny because it's like, I don't know, bud. Justin Trudeau was shoveling out hundreds of billions of dollars of borrowed money that will never probably ever be paid back. You know, and he's paying basically everybody. He bought the media, he bought everybody, and he's got less votes than he's ever gotten in a pandemic where he's basically paying everybody to vote for him. And we did our thing. And as I said in the statement that I created, I would never be so bold as to say that we held him back from a majority or whatever, because I just don't know that. Right. But at the same time, it's like we, along with the actions of others too, may have cost him a majority. We don't know. It's funny. People that are so certain of their opinion, they always strike me as odd, right? It's like, how can you be, you don't have any information whatsoever, and you're 100% certain we failed. You don't know how much we succeeded. So I don't have that kind of hubris, but certainly leftists are famous for that level of hubris.
Absolutely. I actually had just a short email interview this morning about the tour, and they asked me if I thought the media person asked me if I thought I, you know, influenced the vote for certain candidates that did lose, like Monsef, or, you know, the overall outcome of the election. I said, well, realistically, nobody has any way to measure that. But yeah, I like to think that we played some part in holding him back from his majority. Now, remember, going into this election, when he dropped the writ, Trudeau said, you know, well, the opposition parties are obstructionists and I'm not able to get things done, and which is a complete lie. He's had, you know, full reign just to throw money around and do whatever he wants to do. But if his excuse to the anti-gunners on why he's, you know, not been able to follow through on all these ridiculous gun control measures are because he didn't have a majority government, well, guess what? He's in no better spot now than he was then. So, you know, I don't consider it a failure. And any, you know, if you've got liberal pundits or anti-gun groups or even liberal MPs who are suggesting that the outcome of this election was a win for anybody, then they are delirious, because it absolutely was not.
Yeah, it was a loss for everyone, I think, involved.
Everybody.
It was a loss for everybody, right?
Yeah, anyway, all the way around.
Sorry to hijack you. Let's get back to it. So you've got some people to thank.
Yeah, so I mean, literally, I really wish we had time that I could compile the list of everybody who came out and helped. And then, of course, those who weren't able to come out with me, but went and picked up a supply of pamphlets at the drop-off locations and went and did on their own. The list is huge. Literally hundreds of people helped me. And that's incredible and amazing. So I don't want to start going down the name game too far, because I don't want to leave somebody out. Everybody deserves a huge thank you. And from the bottom of my heart, I really mean it. But I had a couple key people who really helped with some of the logistics of this, because I just want to explain to people, when I was choosing what ridings to go to, like, I don't live there, right? Like, if it was in Ottawa and it was like, okay, we're going to target Orleans, where can we meet? I would know where to meet. I live here. I would know we can meet over at the high school or at a community center. When you're not from somewhere, I'm looking at Google Maps, just trying to figure out, you know, what is a local place and where do we have free public parking and things like that. So some of those logistical things, I really was reliant on local people, and Brooke and Anna and Damien in particular in the GTA were an absolute savior. The second half of the trip went so smoothly because basically Brooke planned it for me. CCFR field officer, and I think he even admins on the group. And then we had Brent in Peterborough, who was just a total workhorse. This guy was driving back and forth from Peterborough to Toronto, picking up from the print shop for me, like going completely out of his way at his own expense, circulating, you know, pamphlets around. And of course, at the end, when it was getting towards the end and there was still a supply left at Accuracy Plus in Peterborough, he went and picked up the rest and started hitting GO train stations and like just mad panic. So big thanks to Brent. He went way over and above, and I'm glad that guy's got my back. And he also helped with some security issues that we had in Peterborough. So big thanks to him. Dustin out in BC was the same. Dustin in BC and Jeff in New Brunswick, without these two guys, here was the thing, is I tried to focus my efforts on the GTA, and that's where I could geographically get to myself, right? Get in the van and drive there. However, there was some key ridings, both in British Columbia and out in New Brunswick, that needed to be targeted. And the best I could do with the short amount of time and the geography between me and those places was to ship, you know, a bulk amount of 30,000 pamphlets, one this way and one this way. And that's it. I couldn't organize or do any further logistics past that. And Dustin in BC and Jeff in New Brunswick picked up the ball without question. I didn't even ask. They just leaped into the role and made sure those got around. And I'm eternally grateful for their help from afar, because I literally couldn't do it. There's lots of other people I could thank, but like I said, I don't want to leave somebody out. But I really wanted to pay homage to those people in particular, because the logistics behind this in that short period of time were like, that was a monumental effort. So big thanks.
Yeah. Well, just again, I've reminded everybody several times, but the election period is short. You have no time to do things. One of the reasons why we didn't have a French version is just because for me to do that brochure, well, the booklet, in the 2 weeks and one day, I think that I got it done. It was a tremendous amount of work for it to have a print ready PDF by that time. And that's why we didn't get all that stuff done. But now that we've gone through this, as I've said in the intro, you know, next time we will have it in French. We will have it fully updated. We will print four times as many. We'll have our forces, our distribution forces, all ready to go. It's going to be four times as big next time. And we'll make sure that that Justin or whoever's running doesn't get another shot at it if we've got anything to say about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, with more time, and now that we've got the experience of doing it, we've got the template for the content itself. Like, this is an absolutely beautiful pamphlet. Anybody, you know, you can see it at liberalref.ca, but it's not quite the same as seeing it in print. Like, it's glossy, thick paper. It's beautiful. Like, this is an incredible amount of work. I also wanted to quickly, before we move on to some other stuff, there was a lot of retailers that jumped at the chance to help me. Now, the idea here was, you know, I can't just be in one place for people to come to the back of my creepy panel van and pick up boxes of pamphlets, right? So I needed to be able to drop huge loads of pamphlets all across the GTA, sprinkle them everywhere. And there was retailers who weren't even open on the weekend when I was there, but still came down. I had a crowd to meet me every time. It was great. So I just want to quickly run through them just because I think they need that extra little thank you. Sports Action 2000 and that hunting store, SFRC Ammo Source, Greater Napanee Gunworks, Accuracy Plus, Firearms Outlet Canada, Target Sports Canada, Select Shooting Supplies, Victory Ridge Sports, Gagnon Sports, Bullseye North, NAS Guns and Ammo, Tenda Canada, Reliable Gun, International Shooting Supplies, The Gun Dealer, and CRAFM out in Montreal. So those retailers were absolutely vital to the success of this. There's zero chance I could have got as many pamphlets and product into each area as I did without their help. And they were all fantastic. I'd roll up, they'd come, they'd send their staff out, you know, unloading boxes. Like, it was absolutely incredible to have their help.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And moving along, we got you got a couple of stories from the road. So I'll just let you tell your stories.
Yeah, I wanted to tell kind of a funny story. I mean, there's a lot I can tell you about, because the amount of people that would chase us down the road screaming and yelling that they don't want something with this guy on it was funny. Because when you take a minute and get them to read into it, then they loved it. High fives, hugs. You know, I love this. Can I have a few more for my friends? You know, it was pretty successful that way. But one in particular, so I roll up in my panel van at every location, right? That's kind of how it worked. I was traveling alone, so I just roll up by myself. And I would get out of the van, and basically it was the same deal every time. I had this wagon in the back of the van, and it was one of those black fold-up wagons that we used at the Integrity March. So I'd get that out, and we'd load it up with boxes of paper. That poor wagon, like, carried a lot of weight for a lot of days and has a lot of miles on it, too. So it's funny because I see in everybody's pictures that basically it's me, you know, running around pulling this wagon, and that's how we would do it. I would have teams of volunteers, put them in teams of two. We'd go up and down the streets, and I'd kind of, you know, follow along, and we'd all meet so they could restock up their bags out of the wagon. And it was funny because there kept being all these repetitive pictures of me all over social media of me pulling this wagon around. And this one guy in the CCFR group says, I was just thinking how funny it is that this, you know, evil dark money gun lobby that Bill Blair is boogeymanning voters with is actually just a grandma with a wagon. So I actually started laughing when I read that comment online, because what was even funnier was the night before we had picked up some smile cookies, because it's a fundraiser through Tim Hortons for children's charities. And I gave all the volunteers cookies. So I replied that sometimes I have cookies too. So we all just started laughing, because the reality is we're just everyday Canadians. We're not this, you know, evil dark force that Bill Blair makes us out to be. So yeah, at the end of the day, it ended up being a meme somewhere. I think it's on social media, that the evil gun lobby is literally a grandma with a wagon and cookies. So I don't know. I just think that's so funny, because that's going to be stuck in my mind for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no matter what Bill Blair says, and how we're in it for profit from the gun manufacturers. That's another good one, right? And it's like, I don't even think we have a single business member that's a gun manufacturer. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
no. You know what? He would just say whatever he wants. But the reality is totally different, and how we're all racists and far right extremists. You know, my wife and kids will be very surprised and shocked to find out that I'm a right wing extremist, racist, xenophobe.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
Yeah. What an idiot. Anyway. And then you got one more story that's actually quite heartwarming.
Yeah. So this is the Canadian Jana story. So you may remember back in April, I had posted a screenshot of a tweet that I saw on Twitter by an account called Canadian Jana. She's a female gun owner. She's from the GTA area, and she had lost her husband in a very, very fast and vicious battle with cancer. I think it was just after Valentine's Day in February, he received a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, and by April he was gone, and it was devastating. And I guess I don't know if just in the busyness of social media, I didn't even realize that it happened. And then I came across this tweet she had made, and it was about how COVID, you know, how he had received this diagnosis, how COVID had stolen some time from her, you know, from them together, because of course visiting in a hospital was pretty sketchy back at that time. And then the tweet was a photo of his last outfit, and I think you'll remember this, his I don't know if you call it trap or skeet, but his shooting vest was there. There was a pair of jeans. There was a firearm rights or human rights t-shirt folded up. And she said, I'm going to send him off my way. Like, and I talked to her, and she told me that some of the last words he said to her was to keep fighting. And I see a lot of heart-wrenching things on social media. Yeah. But the stark reality of seeing that tweet and just staring at that photo, knowing that we influenced someone's life enough that we were included in his last wishes and that he'd be buried in that t-shirt, it's kind of heavy, right? And I thought, like, wow, I don't even know, but I've always held that pretty close to my heart because to me, you know, there's fighting on Twitter and all these things and events and things that we go to. But at the end of the day, knowing that you touched somebody's life so impactfully, it was weird for me to see that t-shirt, right? So anyways, you know, I've kept in contact with Jana and we talk on social media. And then I pull up to this location in the GTA and we're at a community center. And I, you know, roll out of the van and I go to the back of the van and I'm sort of addressing people. And she just walks up to me and she says, "I'm Canadian Jana." And I don't know, like I almost lost it right there. But I, you know, COVID rules be damned. I don't know if it's legal to hug people or not, but I don't even care. I wrapped my arms right around her and I pulled her in close and I just felt like, wow, like I'm so honored to meet her and just to spend some time with her and just to know that that tweet she made, I'm sure it was in a pretty dark time in her life, but it was very profound for me. So anyway, she came and we spent some time together walking and talking and doing the pamphlet thing. And we had a little bit of time between the next stop. And she came and had coffee with Anna and I and Damien. And we all had some conversation and she connected with Anna. And she was telling me how she's been having a hard time looking at her guns and taking them out since Derek passed. And you know, and that she really wants to get back into it, but it was sort of a them thing and she doesn't know where to go from here. So I know Anna sort of took her under her wing and those two girls are going to spend some time together. And I promised I would get back up and spend some time with her too. But yeah, it's nice to know there is a path forward for her through that grief. And I think, I don't know, I'm not an overly religious person, but I believe that if there is sort of some sort of life after death, I like to think that Derek was really smiling on us both that day and that she kept her promise to him to keep up the fight. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a story. I'm glad you had a chance to meet her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
She's a great girl, beautiful lady, and just great. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Well, cool. I think that's our list, unless there's anything else.
No, I think that's about it. I know there's, you know, I don't really have any details yet. I guess we'll wait for the next podcast for that. But there is an announcement coming out of the province of Quebec tomorrow. You know, they're talking about the rising gang violence. And unfortunately, whenever politicians talk about a problem, they usually create a solution that doesn't actually tackle the problem. So we will be keeping an eye on that. I know there's some worries about further gun control measures in Quebec, which is the mecca for gun control in Canada. But of course, there's no information being leaked about that. It's pretty tight. So stay tuned. Watch our social media channels. And if it is anything of significance for our community, I will make a web story about it. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, great work. And, you know, on behalf of all gun owners, because I'm a gun owner too, you know, thank you so much for all of the work that you put in. Like, I know you just broke your back trying to achieve our goals while I was, you know, doing my thing. And I just really appreciate all the work.
Well, we promised gun owners at the beginning of this CCFR adventure that we would leave no stone unturned nor avenue unexplored. And there's nothing we won't do for gun owners. And we meant it. And then I also told you that if you got this thing together, that I would take it from there. And I kept my promise to you too.
Yeah, so. I appreciate it. All right, Wilson, I'll let you go for now and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds great.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for the CCFR portion. Other than I got a couple things to say to you and then I'll let you go and I'll talk about my condition after. Okay. So, if you are happy with what we've done during the election, it was a lot of work for a small group of people, but we threw some big weight around this time around. And if you're happy with the other stuff that we do as well, consider checking your membership, making sure it's current and or donating to the CCFR. And the reason why that's important is we can't throw our weight around like this if we don't have sufficient funds, especially when we're reacting to things like an election period. I forget what the law is. I think it's like the election period can't be less than 30 days and it can't be more than 51 days or something like that. So in Canada, you call an election and it's happening in 6 weeks. You have no time to react. You don't have no time to do fundraisers or any of that stuff. So the reason why we were able to throw our weight around the way that we did in this election was because we had money, because you guys have supported us and gave us the ability to do that, right? So anyway, all that to say, we have to fight an unfriendly government. Again, this is the entire existence of the CCFR for the last 6 years that we've been around. It's always been fighting the liberals. So I think we only had a month worth of worth of existence with the conservatives. And, you know, we were just had opened at that time, right? So we have to continue to fight these people and really take it to them for the next 2 years at least, till there's another election. And to do that, we need your support. So if your membership is expired, consider renewing it. We'd really appreciate it, or donating. Okay. If you're happy with us, really appreciate it. Okay. So if you're don't want to hear about my condition, that's fine. You can stop watching now, and we'll see you next time. All right. For everybody else, my condition. Here's the good news. Tomorrow is my last appointment for radiation, and it's gone really well. I think in my books, I'm completely grateful and thankful about how it's gone for me. I had my second to last appointment this morning before I came here, and I still took the stairs. I didn't have to take the elevator. I haven't taken the elevator once at the cancer center. So I'm doing really well. My mouth is a train wreck. You know, I might have said before, if you want to know what it's like you took a cup of boiling water right out of the kettle and you drank it. That's what it feels like, right? It would feel like you would feel the next day when you woke up after that. So it's, you know, I wake up with blood in my mouth every morning, and, you know, it sounds worse than it is. It's really not that bad. And the reason the mic's on this time is radiation burns, you can see. It went from like blood red down in here. Now it's turning gray. I don't know what that means, but anyway, probably be okay. But the reason, and you know, it's funny because people have commented on my attitude. I'm like, well, you're handling it so well. It's like, well, here's the thing. I go to the cancer center every day. And like I said, I take the stairs. I'm still doing okay. Other than the first few weeks, it was really bad. And this last week has been actually it's difficult, right? I had to take a lot more pain medication the last week and whatnot. But after I had my problem resolved in that first, after those first 2 weeks, it got easier, especially when I was on the steroids. I'm still on them, but I'm on the weaning off period of them now. But, you know, it's been fairly okay. And then the last week it's gotten difficult. Like my mouth hurts. My tongue really hurts. Hurts to talk. But I go to the cancer center every day and I see people that are really having a hard time. Not like me, like really. Like they're coming in for the treatments that I'm getting, except they're getting wheeled in on a gurney. Okay, very sick, hurting people. And so when I see that, and young people, a couple of really young people there, I'm like, oh my God. Like if I only got a couple years left, like I have no problem with that. I've lived enough life for three people. I have no regrets at all, right? And you know, you live and you die. That's, we're all going to die. So it's not a big deal, like to me. And I just consider myself, I'm really grateful because I consider myself luckier than most. So I've tolerated the treatment. I got to the end. I'm really thankful for that. And I'm not spiritual. I'm not religious, but I'm really philosophical. And I will tell you this, I can't help but think that I got through all of this easier or better because of all of your well wishes and all of your prayers. So many people sent me messages and said that they were praying for me. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not getting all spiritual right now, but man, it must have helped because I've tolerated treatment really, really well. Like I said, tomorrow's the last day. And, you know, I'm still taking the stairs down to the basement where they hit you with the radiation. So I've taken 68 gray worth of radiation to the face and neck, right? And it's a tremendous amount of radiation. Plus, I think I've had about 90 or 100 head x-rays because you get two every time you go, and then they take extra images from time to time to make sure there's nothing else going on. So anyway, like I said, the treatment will probably kill me, right? The cure will kill me in a couple of years, I'm sure. But anyway, next steps, just so you know, I've done really well. So again, thank you for all of your support that way. Next steps is in 3 months, I get a PET scan. If there's active cancer still, they'll offer me surgery and they'll just cut whatever out. I'll have to determine whether I'm going to do that or not. And then that's when I'll do immunotherapy as well, because I have to determine whether or not the radiation worked, right? So, and then the immunotherapy will just to kill any stragglers out there kind of thing in there somewhere. So yeah, That's the story. So thanks so much, everyone, for your support. I'm doing okay. I'm supposed to get worse after tomorrow. It's supposed to continue to get worse, the side effects, for another 2 weeks. And then that's supposed to be when you're over the hump and you start to heal from all that stuff. There's some late-term stuff that can happen, lymphedema, and also some osteoradionecrosis can happen. That can be a very serious side effect. I did take a lot of radiation. There's a good possibility. I think my shotgunning days are over, that's for sure, because it's on my right side, right? But 5.56 is okay, and 22 is okay. So you never know. Maybe I won't have a problem. But other than that, you can get broken bones from that kind of stuff. So anyway, other than that, I know I'm going to stay alive, hopefully, for a couple of years. For that, I can thank all of you for all that support. So anyway, another podcast. I think I'm going to do another podcast in 2 weeks. We're going to have a little bit more fun in that one. Probably not going to talk about my condition anymore. Not going to talk about a lot of things anymore. Let's put it all in the past, and we'll take it from there. Okay, thanks for watching, everybody, and we will see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.